Frances McDormand caused quite a stir with her acceptance speech at the 2018 Academy Awards by mentioning an inclusion rider. The idea that stars can make Hollywood more diverse by requiring that everyone hired to work on a film reflect the world at large. Besides ensuring gender and racial equality, this makes movies better. When asked this year if she had anything else she'd like to add, Frances replied, "Nope, nothing at all."
The 91st Academy Awards was a celebration of Black and Latinx talent, with many of the awards going to Roma, Black Panther, If Beale Street Could Talk. But some folks aren't too happy with the white savior trope of Green Book, which won Best Film and Best Supporting Actor.
LGBT people are also represented well, with both the Best Actor and Actress going to actors portraying queens, Freddie Mercury and Queen Anne.
Today, we take a look at all the amazing moments of the 2019 Oscars you may have missed.
Plus, Poe star Billy Porter pays homage to ballroom icon, legendary grandfather Hector Extravaganza.
And Carol Channing gets left off the In Memoriam.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer.
Hi, I'm Carol. Carol Channing? Yeah. And I want you to know that I am thrilled to know, well, the Feast of Fun, they're my favorite people. Yes, sir. And I'm happy to be with them again. And I'm happy to, you must listen to Mark and Fausto. They sure know how to ask penetrating questions.
They ask the most penetrating questions.
I can't believe they left Carol off the In Memoriam.
Raspberries.
People are thinking maybe it was because she died this year, but Albert Finney actually died after her, and he was included in it. And so her publicist contacted somebody, and this was posted
at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, at the Academy Awards. It's probably not an official statement from somebody at the Academy Awards, because I don't know why they would do this. But so he posted something that says, "I'm inconsolably heartsick that the Motion Picture Academy would ignore one of its own members and an Academy Award nominee, Carol Channing, in the memoriam. I texted a colleague of mine over at the Academy to inquire how this could happen. I received the response that, well, she really wasn't that important to our industry, and no one in Hollywood really knows who she was."
This is what happens when you don't have Bruce Vilanch backstage writing jokes.
"It's inexcusable. I'm sitting here talking to Michael Learned, Loretta Swit, George Chakiris, Rosalind Kind, and numerous other Academy members who are simply stunned that Carol Channing would be ignored by the industry that she dedicated her life and she fervently fought for and believed in." I know. She was nominated.
Well,
for
those in memoriams always forget somebody. And you think they would just go down the list.
Be like, who died?
Who died?
Who's died and who will piss off the gays? Because the gays are really the ones that care the most, right?
Penny Marshall's gone, and she would have been pissed off about this exclusion. Mm-hmm. Tab Hunter is gone. He would have been pissed off about it. Stan Lee's gone. Margot Kidder.
You were surprised Margot Kidder died.
I was surprised Tab Hunter was dead, too. I was just like, I've always wanted to have Tab Hunter on the show, you know? And I'm just like, sometimes I feel with this podcast, I feel like it's a race against time to get some of these talents on the program before they drop dead.
Well, the thing with Tab Hunter is, you know, he came out with that book. It was Tab Hunter Confidential.
Yeah.
We reached out to him to try to get him on. But he really, you know, he does not like the media. He does not like to be interviewed because he, you know, he was outed, and people in the media in Hollywood in the 50s were always trying to like, what's he doing in that little party up there with all those other men who are scantily clad? So he had a very adverse reaction to media.
And then Margot Kidder, who's best known for playing Lois Lane in the what's seen as the original Superman films, had a very hard time after the film's successes. And at one time she was struggling with mental health issues and found herself like sleeping in somebody's backyard or breaking into
somebody's hedges or something.
Yeah. And so, you know, of course, Penny Marshall is joining Carrie Fisher in heaven this year. They were very, very close.
They were very, very close.
If you know what I'm saying.
Wow.
They were rumored to be longtime lesbian lovers.
Well, Tab Hunter and Debbie Reynolds, they dated, right?
That's
In quotations. So they were roughly around the same age, you know?
And true believers, Stan Lee is now in heaven. I sound like Carol Channing. Trying to imitate Stan Lee.
You know, will they
Carol Channing.
Will they just continue Stan Lee in the future in those movies? Will they just digitize him?
I think what they're pushing for is not doing that, but actually having one of the characters sort of play that role that breaks that fourth wall. And so Deadpool, people are pushing for Deadpool to be that character that sort of takes place of Stan Lee. But you can't replace Stan Lee.
No, you can't.
It would be a horrible injustice to have him be like, have like me doing a Carol Channing impersonation in the film. But of course, you know, actually Star Wars Into the Spider-Verse won the best animated film, which I think was...
You mean Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
What did I say?
You said Star Wars.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry. Like,
wait a second, you're confusing me.
This is what's so hard about doing the Oscars the podcast. There's so many names. We're taping this at midnight, folks. Mm-hmm. In California, it was daytime when the Oscars were starting. Here, we were like, I got to take a disco nap before doing this. But we're gonna forge through here. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated Film for its pioneering work in animation, where they having this technique where the line screens, that dot matrix that newspapers have, that moiré effect, was actually animated. It was moving, it was dynamic, and it was a technology that Sony Pictures developed for the film, and they have an exclusive patent to it.
So anybody that ever wants to do that in the future will have to pay Sony for it.
Well, it's something, you know, that they developed and no one can replicate. So it's the unique look. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought it was stunningly beautiful. If you haven't seen it, definitely it's a film definitely to check out.
And that's one of the films that you have to include in the Latinx films, right?
That's right. Because finally, a brother, a Latinx brother, soul brother, Spider-Man. And you also have a daddy Spider-Man with a nice thick gut like we do.
Oh, yeah. He was sexy. I think he's the sexiest Spider-Man yet.
It made me feel sexier by seeing myself reflect my body type reflected in a film.
You mean the spider pig? Is that what you're saying? The spider
you
pig?
You are evil.
Or the little Japanese girl with the robot. If you guys have not seen that film, it really is incredible. It's super charming. It's wonderful.
It really one of my favorite films that was celebrated this year. And, you know, and I have to say, you know, it's great to see the Oscars be so black, be so Latinx, be so diverse.
Roma won big.
Yeah. I mean, just all these great films got to take awards. And it's the first time you had this many great black and Latinx talent all snatching up those trophies, honey.
Well, even if you look at like if Beale Street Could Talk, you know, she won for Best Actress. Let me grab her name here real quick. Sorry. Regina King. And, you know, that's a book by James Baldwin, who is a famous black gay American author.
And of course you have Captain America saving the day.
Chris Evans.
So Regina King is standing up to receive her awards, and you know they wear all these ridiculous gowns, and she just starts to tumble. Like you can actually see her look on her face going from I won and then Chris Evans just goes, let me just help you. And he holds out his muscular arm and she grabs it and she's like, gives a little squeeze.
Thank you, Captain America. Thank you, Cap. And he looks so beautiful in his like his dusty blue velvet tuxedo.
Gani. And that's what I think, despite all the diversity, all the wonderful moments of this year's Oscars, you know, the Oscars comes in a very... In tumultuous times with Kevin Hart being sort of asked to not host the Oscars for not committing to not making homophobic jokes. And, you know, the fact that a lot of critics are saying that the Oscars are not relevant anymore, that they're not viewed. These are ceremonies that are not paid attention to. But other people are saying, you know, if that's the case, why are the studios spending an unprecedented amount of money in marketing the films so they can receive awards?
Mm-hmm.
So despite the fact that not necessarily as many people are watching the Oscars, because maybe they listen to our podcast instead of staying up till midnight watching this stuff, or, you know, there's social media, there's all kinds of media. So necessarily maybe the viewership of the Oscars is not as relevant, but the discussion, the impact that these awards have on the films is certainly very important. And one, I think one person whose career is going to do very, very well after this, besides, you know, designer Christian Siriano, is Pose star Billy Porter, who stole the red carpet, said, Shangela who? Paying homage to ballroom icon, legendary grandfather, Hector Extravaganza of the House of Extravaganza, where RuPaul says, Extravaganza, eleganza, that's the man, that's the person, that's the icon. And, you know, if you guys haven't seen it, you can see the photo there with this black tuxedo and black velvet gown.
And everybody is pretty much saying he won the look of the night. And everybody,
best dress, hands down.
He, for sure.
Yes.
But other people look good. J-Lo wore Tom Ford, and she looked like she, you know, she looked good, but she might have 7 years of bad luck because she was wearing something that looked like a broken mirror all over
Jennifer Lopez.
J-Lo.
Well, yeah, she looked a lot like the Trump right-wing musician who was at the Grammys the same idea, bowling in a tuxedo that was reversible, just like a lot of right-wingers' politics.
Oh.
They can hide it when it suits them. You know, so the inside of the jacket is like, go Trump, go. I love, you know, make America great again. And the other side of the jacket, it looks very much like Jennifer Lopez's, you know, plastic mirror dress.
Gaga looked great. And Alexander McQueen with her little hip pads were like acting like a real drag queen. And then she wore a $30 million necklace with a yellow diamond. Ooh. Does that mean she's a piss queen? If she's,
I think that diamond, that necklace was actually a tribute to Breakfast at Tiffany's.
It was?
Yes, ma'am.
How so?
That's what somebody said. And then somebody else pointed out that Goldie Hawn's daughter, Kate Hudson, wore the exact same necklace and the exact same look. It wasn't even original.
When? Like
in the past.
Oh, wow.
They were like, who wore it better?
And what is up with Angela Bassett? Why does she look as young today as she looked 30 years ago or 20 years ago?
Because she's not playing a voodoo queen. She is a voodoo queen. A voodoo queen, and she's cast a spell. There's a portrait of Angela Bassett in her attic that is aging, but she looks fabulous.
Like, J-Lo doesn't look like she's aged either. So it's not only just this Botox and this filler. These girls, they're doing something else. I don't know what it is.
If taking my vitamins and exercising regularly and having money. Money is a good lotion.
Yes, money is a good lotion.
Money is a very good lotion, says Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. And you can see these like wealthy actresses, for the most part, when they don't abuse drugs and plastic surgery, they look like a million bucks.
Michelle Yeoh looked fantastic wearing Ali Saab, and it was so great to see her walk out with Pharrell, because you're just like, you know, she could snap Pharrell in half if she wanted to, even in that outfit.
Yes, ma'am.
Because she knows her martial arts. But I think the two men that looked really the best were Chris Evans and Jason Momoa. Both wearing tuxedos made from velvet that kind of had like a bit of a muted color, but kind of like a dustiness to it. And Jason Momoa in his pink, dusty pink tuxedo was
Jason
very
Momoa
sexy.
Makes. You know, let's just say if he was naked, we'd say he looks great. If he was wearing a potato sack, he would look great. Mm-hmm. That is Lagerfeld. People are like not feeling love, you know. That was one of the last things he designed before he croaked.
Oh, yeah. He had. It's interesting that he would make. You know, he's making because he was accused of racism, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was kind of a jerk.
He was also like a sizist, right? And made fun of women's bodies and stuff. So it's, you know, it's not.
Lagerfeld is the kind of person. Do you guys remember Leona Helmsley?
Yeah.
The only palace where the queen stands guard. Before there was Trump, in New York City, terrorizing people for being a rich, conservative, stupid, egotistical asshole. There was Leona Helmsley, who got into trouble for not paying her taxes. But she was notorious. And when she died, she gave all her money to her dogs.
Yeah. Well, and the Lagerfeld, judge was just like, no.
Lagerfeld just passed away. He gave all his money to one of his pets.
Some of his money to his cat.
A lot of it.
A lot, but not all of it.
And I'm like, honey, this is why, because he didn't have any friends. Like, if we passed away, God forbid, our dog would be taken care by somebody.
Right.
It's not like they would just throw him out on the street, you know? And that's the thing about it is like, these wealthy people were so mean and vicious to other people that, like, they were worried that no one would take care of the one creature on this earth that couldn't judge them because they couldn't interact with them. Was their dog or their cat.
Because they didn't know how evil they were.
That's right. So, Shangela became, I guess, the first drag queen to walk the red carpet at the Oscars. Now, this is not counting, was it Mike and Mike from, I'm sorry, blanking on their
name.
South Park guys.
When they did.
Who dressed up as Jennifer Lopez and stuff. This is the first conscious drag queen.
This is the first self-identifying drag queen going in drag. To the red carpet.
She said, I hope that means something to somebody out there because it sure means something to me.
It doesn't. You know, Billy Porter blew you out of the water, girl. Sorry. No, of course it means something to people. People love and adore Shangela. And it's wonderful to see you in a Hollywood movie. And it's wonderful to see you in the red carpet in drag. It really is.
Yeah, Jennifer Lewis was behind her going...
Well, they're buddies.
That's
they're
her buddies. Mom. That's basically her like default mom.
Jennifer Lewis did
I
a show
yeah.
with this other guy who was in
he played
Mormon Boy
Gaston in the live action Beauty and the Beast,
and he imitates her to her face.
Yes,
I couldn't tell them apart.
I can imagine that Shangela's career is always sort of being a runner up to somebody else. I mean, she didn't make it in All Stars with Trixie Mattel snatching the crown from her. And in this time, you know, she should have been the best dressed person. She looked gorgeous. And Diego Montoya, who's a designer for a lot of the girls, was the first time his work was featured on the red carpet. So it's a very prestigious moment for fans of RuPaul's Drag Race. And of course, Billy Porter said, Jennifer Lewis, Shangela, Diego Montoya, who? And then went whip and said, Mother has arrived. Yes, folks, this is the podcast where we keep fans close by in a drawer so we can whack them anytime we need to.
Folks, do we meet Diego?
I think we have met Diego.
I think he was friends with
Kitty Powers.
Yes. Yeah, so we met him.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Sure. Yes, mother. So Diego's done a lot of great work. He's done a lot of gowns for Bianca Del Rio.
Sasha Velour.
Do you know that dragon dress that Bianca Del Rio wore in one of her tours, where there's like a dragon coming off her shoulder? He did that. Kitty Powers' digitized dress that you've seen with it, like there's all these little cubes and you can't, you think your vision's going bad because she looks like she's out of focus.
Yes.
He did that as well.
I think he told me he met Bianca. He went backstage and gave her a dress and she goes, well, how do you know it's going to fit? He's just like, I just looked at you and he goes, and she said it fit perfectly.
That's sickening. You know, and where is my gown, Diego? Where is my gown?
He's still waiting for all that extra fabric to come in from China.
Listen, just sew two bed sheets together. It'll be fabulous. Willem Belli chose to not. He had the option to walk the red carpet. Mm-hmm. Instead, he was sort of fulfilling Joan Rivers's space on E! Entertainment Television. And they were asking, like, what were some good moments from A Star Is Born that they didn't make it into the film? He said, well, there was a scene where Lady Gaga's eyebrows are falling off because she had, like, prosthetic eyebrows or something.
Oh, really?
And he says, oh, honey, that's what doggy style is for. Oh, Lady Gaga with Bradley Cooper. What heat. I wanted them to fuck on that piano. I had my problems with A Star Is Born, but I think the music is really transcendent and gorgeous. It's nice to hear Lady Gaga making good music again. Mm-hmm. You know, because the last couple albums have been a little wonky.
It's not like that debut album, is it?
Yeah, like, here, let me play you a little bit of it. See, it's just terrible.
Well, Bradley's so cute and she's so gorgeous, and, yeah. and they look so sophisticated and glamorous, and they're out, you know, their tuxedos and their dresses and their diamonds and singing that song. And then when he goes over to sit next to her on the piano, you're like, is he going to kiss her? He's going to stick his tongue down her throat. And then, you know.
I wanted to see him stick his penis inside her.
Oh, you know,
I hope they
fucked. There could be 100 people in a room, and that one with that nice dick says, I want to stick it in you. And you say, all right,
let's do this.
Let's do it.
An orgasm is born.
Mm.
Lady Gaga got her Oscar.
She did get her Oscar.
For best actor.
Song.
That's okay.
Yeah, she's sharing it with other people because I think she wrote it with other people, right?
Yeah. That's all that matters. But Lady Gaga's like
winner.
Holding that Oscar going, all right, two for two.
Yeah. I got an Oscar. I have a Grammy. Now I just need an Emmy and a Tony.
Yeah. So she has to basically.
How long before she does Broadway? She's going to star in the Madonna story on Broadway. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
You know, Madonna's at home going.
Madonna doesn't have an Oscar, does she?
No, she doesn't.
She does have a Golden Globes, though. Right?
Belt count. A cot.
Did she get an Oscar for any of her songs?
Nope. I Googled it. Madonna got nothing.
She has some Grammys.
She got an Oscar nomination, though, for Desperately Seeking Susan for not ruining the movie.
She's in very little of that film.
That's why she's so good in it.
It's so, like, because you think, oh, it's a Madonna film, and you're just like, when's Madonna going to be in this film?
But Madonna always has an Oscars party.
She does?
Yeah, even this year she had one.
Oh.
I wonder if Lady Gaga brought her award there and rubbed it underneath her nose and said, tastes so good. Elvira tweeted that every single Oscar statue was personally licked by her.
Did she really?
She really posted that on the internet.
Elvira?
Cassandra Peterson, honey, Mistress of the Dark, says she personally licks every single statue.
Well, Glenn Close dressed up as a statue this year because I think she knew she wasn't going to win.
Oh, honey, she said, I'll just be the carpets and the drapes.
She's been nominated so many times. She's kind of becoming the Susan Lucci.
I guess so. You know, she just has to do something. I'm not sure what she's going to do for it, but, you know.
Well, be in a better movie. I think people said that they really liked her in this movie, but they're like, the movie's not that good. She's a good actress, but the movie's not that good.
No.
And I'm kind of interested, you know, it's kind of interesting to see why, like, you know, I think Olivia Colman, people were really kind of a bit surprised that she was the one who was going to win it. Because really, people were like, it's going to be Glenn. It's her year. But, you know, a lot of people are familiar with her work and other things. The Favorite was a good film. She was great in it. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who vote for the Oscars that are British, and they're going to maybe recognize something in their own. It's going to speak to them more than these other people. And, you know, for us, you know, as LGBT representation, it's in some ways it's good because, you know, that queen, she liked a tongue down there. Let me just put it that way.
You're talking about The Favorite.
The Favorite, yes.
I do rather enjoy having her tongue up inside me, was a quote from the film. We took my mom to this movie. She wasn't happy.
And so, she won for Best Actress, and then Rami Malek won for Best Actor. And I think some people are a bit surprised by that.
I guess so. I don't know. Let me take a look at who he was up against with. Christian Bale, Vice's Dick Cheney.
You know,
I wasn't a fan of the prosthetics making it. Rami really, you know, besides the teeth.
Mm-hmm. Those weren't his own teeth?
No, he wore fake teeth, and then he has to go over and voice over himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when you know, just like the Klingons in Star Trek.
You can't really talk with those things.
Because I imagine that acting next to Rami Malek and not laughing.
No,
he's like
spit coming out.
You know, it's a mess.
More bravado in my mouth.
Viggo Mortensen and Green Book for playing Tony Lip Valenoga. Not going to win. Mm. So I think Rami, of those contenders, was definitely the front runner. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of the worst dressed at the Oscars, people are sort of saying that that they were not fans of that red velvet tuxedos, that they said that it made them look too feminine. But this is like conservative media, like the Chicago Tribune. But I definitely think like Glenn Close is a red that Oscar gown was bad. Olivia Colman, who won Best Actress, she didn't look spectacularly any good in this kind of green excess fabric dress. It's really hard to actually navigate the internet and look at photos of the worst dress because there's so many pop-up ads that I'm just like, fuck it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I'm just like, the internet is ruined with pop-up ads. They are terrible. They are cancer.
Do we have pop-up ads at FIFA?
Not at us. No, honey. We rely on financial support of fabulous people like you guys. That's why, imagine if you were listening to a podcast and suddenly you're like, hey, would you like to refinance your mortgage? Well, in the next 30 minutes, we're going to be, and you never hear any of that kind of stuff. This is just pure content. This is just podcasting love. Mm-hmm. And right now we're trying to raise money to ensure that we're here for years to come. You can go to gofundme.com/feastoffuncomputer and help us maintain and replace our broken equipment that we are struggling actually to just keep together. Our computer died, said, I'm done with y'all.
Bye, bitches.
And so it just got gruesome feet and walked out, just like some of the bad fashion of the Oscars. And it just, it's really heartbreaking because we love doing the podcast for you guys. Mm-hmm. And so if you guys can tip us a dollar, tip us five, 10, anything amount, it would be greatly appreciated.
Just go to gofundme.com/feastoffuncomputer. I guess Lady Gaga does have an Emmy.
She does. Yeah. Probably. So all she needs is a Tony.
All she needs is a Tony.
Girl, it's time to go working on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. She'll get there.
She's going to do something with Tony Bennett, like a concert. Mm-hmm. And then that's all she needs, like a Tony for that.
She'll be like, let me get this Tony.
She can win a Tony with Tony Bennett.
So let's talk about Green Book a little bit.
Do we have to?
Because, it was the last category. It's the best picture. And a lot of people were just, they're sick of this trope in Hollywood of, Viggo Mortensen is taking this black player around the South. And he becomes like the savior, of the black civil rights struggle. And, black people are tired of this. They're like, listen, we can't defeat racism without you white people because, you're the cause of it. But it's like, we don't need you to save us from it. We want to be people who are in charge of our own destiny. So a lot of black people are just like, ugh, this movie, why did it have to win?
Sometimes if you want to work for a better place, shut up, step aside and let justice and equality happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when trying to do your best to try to make a difference, all you just wind up is fucking shit up. And I am sick and tired of movies that make it so heroic that a black person and a white person are in a car together, no matter what time period.
Like Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, I'm just like, all my life. It's almost like a bad Tyler Perry movie. So part of me is like,
Tyler Perry does not make the white people the saviors of his films.
No. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, no one's looking at a Madea movie and saying, we should give this an Oscar.
No, not at all.
And part of it is like, I think some films serve different functions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for the Oscars to think about it in terms of a filmmaker. Too many of these films are turning into like technological marvels. And at the core of great filmmaking is people and the ability to capture the human experience and the emotion by using film. And I think if we get stranded by that, if we let technology substitute the humanity in these films, then we start, what are we fighting for? Why are we giving these awards? And I think part of me, like my hesitation with a film like Black Panther is that it relied so much on all this razzle dazzle technology to tell this amazing story about this, magical world that took place in Africa, right? Inside the Marvel universe. And I think that's probably why Star Wars and all these Marvel movies don't get celebrated at the Oscars, because ultimately they're very much more technological marvels than they are anything else. But certainly, if you were asking me what should win, Green Book or Black Panther, I would rather give it to Black Panther than Green Book. But I think a film that definitely could have been given more awards was Black Klansman, which we just recently saw. And it's interesting because the film sort of talks about the story of these Colorado policemen who infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan. But then the, you know, about last 20 minutes of the film actually talks about the that time period in relationship to the rise of Trump and the rise of right wing fascism in the United States in the last couple of years.
You can definitely see that. It's probably part of the reason why, you know, I'm sure Spike Lee has known about the story for a while, but definitely why he felt like this is now's the time to make a movie like this. And congratulations to Spike Lee on his first Oscar, right?
So in the 30-year anniversary of Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee won Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. And when he's standing on the stage, he's telling people to get involved in the 2020 presidential election and do the right thing.
Yes.
But
what?
When they gave the Best Picture Award to Green Book, Spike Lee was visibly angry, waving his hands and arms in the air in disgust and storming out of the theater before he was stopped at the doors. And I guess Oscar award organizers pleaded with him to please remain calm.
Wow.
Scandal. So this is breaking news, folks. More to come. This happened tonight. You know, Spike Lee is not going to those parties.
No.
But, you know, part of it is like, it was really a heartwarming to see Spike Lee jump on Samuel L. Jackson. And you know, this is a moment for two close friends to celebrate a triumphant moment in their careers. And the acknowledgement and the contribution of Spike Lee's amazing film work. You know, I'm a big fan of his work. And
Barbara introduced his film.
Yeah.
She loved it.
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand was like, yeah. And let's talk about his fashion, all dressed up in purple. And then he had this necklace, which was the male sex symbol that he kept playing with.
Well, it was a tribute to Prince.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. You thought it was like identified as trans or something.
No, I think it wasn't the Prince symbol.
He's in purple rain, and that was the Prince symbol. Yeah, absolutely. Tribute to Prince.
I thought it was just
that's how I interpreted
symbol.
It.
Okay. I thought he was kissing his dick. I like dick now.
I don't like women no more. I like penis. No, I think that was a tribute to Prince.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's the thing about it. Like when I saw Barbara Streisand coming out and she's looking at the audience, I'm just guessing, oh my God, she's going to be like, okay, Lady Gaga may have done A Star Is Born, but I did it better 20 years ago. Just letting everybody know that 30 years ago. Well, it's not important how long ago it was, but I did it better. I did better than Judy Garland.
You're right. He and Prince were friends.
I mean, it's like if somebody wore a bra on the outside and said that they're not referencing Madonna. So come on.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, my favorite worst dressed person was Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. She looks a lot like
was she in Givenchy?
Givenchy in her red dress, couture.
And was that latex on top?
It was latex on top, so it makes it very easy for her to get all nice and clean after this party.
She's like, I can do the dishes when I'm done with this.
Yeah, you can have them jizz all over you and just whoop, wipe it off. It's a terrible look.
I thought it was cute, and I thought it was interesting that she was doing, you know, different choices.
Yes, hashtag bad. Choices.
So what did you think about them not having a host this year? Did you even notice?
You know, when in doubt, Tina Fey it out. Tina Fey is charm, charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And Maya Rudolph and, of course, Amy Poehler. They just give the Academy Awards to them.
Yeah, they're like the Three Stooges, but, you know, funny.
And sexy.
Yeah.
Well, sexier.
Yeah. That bald haircut.
You know, the Three Stooges had children, so they got married.
Somebody was fucking them, right?
Somebody was fucking the poor Three Stooges got screwed over by Hollywood. All those films, they barely made any money off of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's part of the reason why we have, like, unions and all this stuff, you know? It's like, it's sad that so many Americans are like, I don't care about unions. And it's like, why do people have to join a union? And I'm like, because a union protects you from not getting robbed. Protects your paycheck. It protects your ability to have a weekend.
They just showed a map of Chicago from, like, 1970 and a map from now and showed, like, the middle class and the change in the middle class. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's virtually hardly any middle class here in Chicago now. It's either you're just like, you're poor, you're rich.
Yeah. Brian Sweeney said Bernie would have done it better with the Oscars.
Well, so Kevin Hart, you know, he stepped down because he was just like, I can't promise I won't make homophobic jokes. And so there was a they put a plastic they put up a plastic statue of him all painted in gold holding an LGBTQ pride flag nearby where the Oscars took place.
What a fool. I got to say, like, Kevin Hart could have just put his pride aside and said, I'm going to be awesome. Hired Bruce Valanche and done some and changed the world for the better.
So the artist named Plastic Jesus is the one who made it. He you might remember him. He also did the Trump's Walk of Fame, you know, with the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He put bars over it.
Yeah, he created a little wall around it.
He said, sadly, this year with the current feeling and rhetoric within the U.S., it seems that it's now acceptable again to hate someone because of their sexual orientation. We all know many people in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry who are LGBTQ, and we should be celebrating diversity, not attacking it like it's the 1970s again. So I guess he collaborated on the statue with artist Joshua Ginger Monroe.
It's quite a work of art. It's really gorgeous. You know, we'll put up a link on our website, feastoffun.com, so you guys can see it. It's just, you know, if you even don't know the controversy or the history behind why this year's Oscars didn't have a host, it's still a beautiful work of art. And I love it when sculptures kind of stand on their own. Like, I don't know if you've seen Michael Jackson with bubbles, you know, by Jeff Koons out of ceramic. Even if you don't know who Michael Jackson is, it's a visually very compelling statue. It's made out of porcelain and enameled with gold, and it's larger than life. And it's really, like, I've seen it face to face. It's just a really beautiful sculpture.
It was at the MCA here for...
For years, for a while. And so if you ever get a chance to see that, and that's what I love about when art sort of can play that commentary but also stand on its own as a beautiful sculpture. What's happening with the actor who plays Kim Jong-un?
So
he's being escorted out of the country.
He's an Australian comedian. He impersonates North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And he also teams up with another one, another comedian who pretends to be Trump. And so Trump is, you know, President Trump and Kim Jong-un, the real one, are going to Vietnam to have a meeting. And so this guy went ahead of time to kind of like spoof things and has been driving around. And the country was just like, listen, you're causing a commotion. You need to get out. And so he left and he said, North Koreans have no sense of humor.
No kidding.
Yes, satire is a powerful weapon against dictatorship.
Truth be spoken.
Yeah.
I guess he also showed up at the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea, and he danced in front of a North Korean cheer squad before security hauled him away.
Yeah. And then he had to go. So I don't know. I think it's interesting that he's going there and they're just like, no, you have to leave this country.
I'm surprised that a lot of these comedians who look and dress up like Trump don't try to crash a Trump rally and just be like, you know. Because a lot of these, you know, I wouldn't, if I, I don't know if I would notice the difference between a Trump impersonator and the real Trump. Some of them are really good. You know, even the guy who does them on Saturday Night Live, Alec Baldwin.
Well, I don't know. How would you tell? You know, you'd have to, well, they would have a security detail around them.
You know how you know?
How?
The orange doesn't come off.
Where, if that orange might be tattooed on at this point in time.
Well, it's a spray tan.
Is that, but who, yeah?
So it's not going to smear off. Although I saw one photo of Trump and he looked like he was wearing more makeup than Shangela. And, you know, Shangela has a 5 o'clock shadow every 5 minutes. So does Will and Bella, you know? The two of them, like, their facial hair just grows really fast.
They should have it lasered off. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Transition already.
Well, that's what RuPaul keeps telling all the drag queens. Like, my career didn't take off until I committed to being a drag queen by shaving my eyebrows off. And all of them are like, okay, I'll do it. So there's like, you know, you when you hang out, you know you're hanging out with fans of drag because they all look like Muppets without their eyes.
But if you're doing drag a lot, I know personally myself, if I were going to be doing drag 3-4 times a week, I would consider shaving off these eyebrows because they're monsters.
Drag is anything you want it to be.
Yeah.
And you can either figure out how to put on the makeup in a different way or work with what your face has to offer.
Or you can just shave off your eyebrows.
Or you could do that, too.
All valid choices. Right, Fausto?
Well,
all valid choices.
I think they're good choices if you feel like you have a choice to make. But if somebody pressures you into making a choice you're not comfortable with, then is it really a choice?
Do you think RuPaul goes up to them and then work with shave those eyebrows?
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, RuPaul used to have a full head of hair. And she didn't shave her eyebrows back then.
Mm.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Anybody can be anything you want to be.
Listen, we have a bunch of good shows coming up for you guys this
week.
Yes,
ma'am.
Comedian Matt Brown is going to come, and we're going to talk about Jussie Smollett.
Not Jussie the dog.
No, the actor from Empire who claims to have been attacked here in Chicago. So we'll talk about what we know so far.
But Jussie Smollett is in the doghouse right now.
He is in the doghouse, yeah.
So people are, even though he may be innocent, mm-hmm. or is he guilty?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and what is our role in the media and as you know, people who participate in social media? Are we making things worse mm-hmm. by jumping to conclusions, by speculating on his case without really knowing all the facts?
And if you're just speculating on things and you're coming up with conjecture about what really happened, what does that really say about you?
Well, it says that you watch a lot of Law and Order and that you would make a great private detective.
We're also talking to Pleasant Gaiman, who's been on the podcast before. You guys might remember her for her. She famously lived in the Punk Palace in L.A., and she's been documenting the punk scene in Los Angeles since the 70s. And she's always full of wild stories. So that'll be fun to talk. And
she's going
to
be casting a spell on you.
And we have an update on Lady Vera Parker for a long time. We'll know she was a Chicago drag queen who got busted for basically like living out of a U-Haul. And then
that was not the reason she got busted.
Well, she
for
was
check
busted.
Fraud.
She was
arrested for not returning. She had a warrant out for her arrest, and the police found her living inside a U-Haul with all her drag inside it.
But she was busted for, renting out apartments that she didn't own. So she was collecting
on Craigslist.
She was collecting security deposits, first month's, last month's rent. And so she, I'm not sure exactly how much time she spent in jail or what happened to her afterwards, but she went on to become a psychic and
to celebrities,
and has her own psychic TV show. And we are talking to a psychic buster, someone that goes out there and will prove to you that psychics are scams.
And she can see it coming.
And she can see it coming. And so they did, I guess, a sting on Lady Vera Parker. So it's something I've, you know, been working with her. You know, she's wanted some background information. She wanted to listen to the podcast. She was doing research. So I've known about this for over a year. And so I've just kind of been waiting. When's this article coming out? When's it happening? When's it coming out? And so it's finally happening this week. And so it'll be a big expose. And, you know, hopefully you'll get to hear about it first here.
Some shady scamvestites mm-hmm. on Feast yeah. of Fun getting justice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Amanda Cohen's back from L.A. She's doing a little visit, and she's going to stop in the studio and record a podcast.
Oh, you mean Amanda Steinstein?
Amanda Steinstein, Amanda Cohen, whatever she is these
Star
days.
Star of What Not to Wear, mm-hmm. one of their most difficult guests in the history of the reality TV show.
And the podcast.
I would agree.
No, you're kidding. We adore Amanda. Absolutely adore her. She's got a great sense of humor. She is a complete and utter science fiction nerd, and we adore her.
Yeah, her first compliment to me says, "Your haircut looks like Romulans." we were like instant friends after
that. Oh, all good times.
I want to do a shout out to the Gunkles, the gay uncles who did a shout out to us.
Mm-hmm. On Facebook, the Facebook page, Gay Uncles, I guess, I think it's kind of a new thing to them. They did mention that one of them said that they met us years ago when we were out in L.A. for one of our meet and greets. And now they have a...
That
was a while ago, yeah.
It was one of the first times we ever had a big meetup at Mickey's. Actually, we did mm-hmm. several at Mickey's West Hollywood.
So I guess
one before it burnt down and mm-hmm. after it burnt down. So just a week, get to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we didn't have cause of the fire.
I guess the 24th of each month they celebrate Gay Uncles. And, you know, for us people, you know, for Fausto and I, a lot of people over the years have called us, you're my gay uncle, you're our gay uncle, or you're my gay daddy, that kind of thing.
And what does it mean to you, like, when somebody says that to you?
Well, it's, you know, it means like we're family and we have that kind of intimate relationship. And I think that, you know, people listen to us because I think they like to be entertained by us. You know, we pull quarters out of their ears, that kind of stuff. And we teach them a few things.
Part of it is like, you know, with Feats of Fun, I've always had a passion for being able to interview people and to tell stories and to talk about culture in a way that's very egalitarian. I love collaborating with people and I love, sort of giving people a grassroots look at LGBTQ culture. Mm-hmm. And at some things sometimes I feel a lot of the media organizations that cover this kind of beat overlook the everyday person. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, to me, heartwarming when we get acknowledged by other people in media and out in the world that say, you made a difference in my life, that the content, the work that you've done has had a positive influence in me as a person. I just really always asking very difficult questions because I want to make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. I ask these difficult questions of myself, mm-hmm. and our guests, mm-hmm. and of my husband, and the mm-hmm. celebrities we talk about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess I want to know about people, like when you watch this year's Oscars, when you think about the Oscars and diversity in Hollywood, you know, we still have a long ways to go. Mm. Even though the Oscars is so black, it's not black enough, in my opinion. I want it to be like, you know, a mishmash of the NAACP, media awards. And the Oscars, we need to acknowledge a lot more different kind of people, but we also have to make films with all kinds of different kind of people. And for us, you know, I feel like the day that Mark and I are in a movie telling Lady Gaga to do it doggy style will be the day.
Diversity is solved, folks.
Well, I think it's part of the progress because we're not on television. No. You know, we're in your ear. We exist because you guys made it possible for us to exist. Mm. You guys decided this podcast is valuable to me enough to donate money, mm-hmm. to just go to feastoffun.com/donate or go to gofundme.com/feastoffuncomputer and make a contribution to help this podcast exist. That is why we're here. It is not easy to be asking for money. It is not easy to do this show. And we do it because we like connecting with you guys. We like to hear back from you guys. We love it when you guys post, when you come out of the closet as the Feast of Fan mm-hmm. Fun, Feast of Fun fan, and tell your friends on social media that we matter. When you share the links to our YouTube channel, to our iTunes podcast directory, and tell people how to subscribe to the podcast, that makes a big difference.
Pick up your friend's iPhone and just go to the podcast app and subscribe to Feast of Fun on their phone.
Yeah, and they'd be like, what is this shit? Let me delete it. But sometimes they go, you know what? This is pretty good.
That podcast saved my life.
And you know, we can be your gay uncle. I would like to be more like your gay best friend.
Aww.
Somebody that is always talking your ear off. You can't get a word in edgewise because it's a podcast. You're like, hey, what is it? I don't agree with you. Well, they're not.
You can write to us. You can always write to us at mail at Feast of Fun. Leave a comment on the website. We look forward to hearing from you guys.
We are listening. And of course, you can follow us on Instagram at Feast of Fun and Twitter. And of course, Facebook at Feast of Fun. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
Bye bye.
Bye.